Tonight, we are going to talk about love, love, love. If y'all came to Tuesday luncheon yesterday, Pastor, since it was Valentine's Day, he talked about love. He didn't know that I was going to talk about love. So the last two times you've heard a sermon, it's been about love. So that's what we're going to talk about. Because yesterday was what day? Valentine's Day. You know, Valentine's Day, how we got Valentine's Day is very interesting. I know there's different stories, but the story that most people look at with Valentine's Day is back when the Romans were running the world, they had a festival in February called Lupercalia. And Lupercalia was a Roman god, and what they do, they would pray to a god, and the god would protect them from the wolves that were around them, their camp or their place where they lived. And each February, they would get together and have dances and singing and parties to pray to this god of Lupercalia, who was also, they would pray to the god of fertility, so they would hope that everybody would be fertile, and that's kind of what they did. That was back in the very, very beginning of AD. Jump about 500 years later, and you have a king, and the world is becoming Christian, and so the king says, we do not want to have any pagan holidays. And so he says, we have to take away Lupercalia. We do not want to have it anymore because it's a pagan holiday. So we have to find something to replace it with. He wanted to find something to replace it with, so he found something. He thought of a man called Saint Valentine. Well, who's Saint Valentine? Well, this is 500 years after Lupercalia had the festival. Well, let's jump back about 200 years. Claudius II was the ruler at that time, Emperor Claudius II. And Emperor Claudius II came with this great idea. They were fighting all the time. And his idea was this. Soldiers would be better soldiers if they were not married. And so he outlawed marriage. Well, there was a bishop at that time called Bishop Valentine. And Bishop Valentine would secretly marry these soldiers and the ones they loved before they would go off to war. Well, he got caught, and he got thrown into jail during this time. Claudius threw him into jail, and he went into jail. And the story has it that when he went into the jail, the people that he had married would secretly come and talk to him and keep him company and stuff like that. But while he was in jail, he fell in love with the jailer's daughter. And he was going to get executed now because they were all mad because he was trying to marry people and all this kind of stuff. You know, that's what they did back then. They would just execute you if they didn't like you. And so what he did is that he wrote a letter to the jailer's daughter who he was in love with, and he signed the end of the letter, "From your Valentine." And so 200 years later, when the king is saying, we're going to take away Lupercalia. He says, we're going to replace it in the same month of February, and we're going to replace it, and we're going to call it St. Valentine's Day. So St. Valentine's Day originally started kind of as a Christian holiday, a thing to replace something that was pagan. Of course, we know today it's a lot different, right? Today it's not exactly what they meant it to be back then. You know, I doubt that when the king was talking about having Valentine's Day, that he would imagine that yesterday 37 million chocolate boxes, which are heart-shaped, were sold for Valentine's Day. 36 million boxes. Can you imagine how many calories that is right there? 8 billion candies that are shaped in the form of a heart. You know those little candies, and they have stuff written on them? And, you know, that 8 billion of those. 1 billion Valentine's cards are being exchanged. 1 billion cards. That Valentine's Day is second only to Christmas for the amount of cards that are given out to loved ones. 50 billion roses. That's a lot. Where do they find 50 billion roses? I just don't understand. 50 billion roses. You know, there's a story that goes that if you're a woman and you see a flying robin on Valentine's Day, it's likely that you'll marry a sailor. If you see a flying sparrow, that you would marry a poor but happy man. And if you saw a goldfinch, you would have luck shine on you because you have a millionaire in waiting. That's what the story goes. So if you're married here tonight and you're here with your spouse, look at them, look at your husband, and figure out what kind of bird you saw. I asked Nikki, and I think I heard her say dodo bird, but I wasn't really sure whether that was true or not. I think that's what I heard. You know, in the medieval days with Valentine's Day, they had a tradition where young men and young women would write their names on a piece of paper and they would put them in bowls. And they would put them in bowls, and then they would go, and the men would go by the bowls, and they would pick the name out of the bowl with a woman's name on it. And that was going to be their Valentine for that time. They would put the piece of paper on their sleeve of their arm, and that is where the phrase "to wear your heart on your sleeve" came from. Because in that medieval time, they would put the name, and that was who your Valentine was going to be. So we have all these stories about Valentine. We talk about love, and everybody's exchanging chocolate, candy, and all this. Well, you know, that's really nice. Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice. I mean, we do. And we need to show people we love, we appreciate them, right? Do you agree with that? And I believe, but many times when we're showing people how we love, I mean, I understand this is really kind of a worldly love that we're sharing with them. It's a, you know, here, I love you, I love you. Here's a box of candy, here's a box of candy, here's some flowers, here's some flowers. I mean, we're passing them out. It's a worldly kind of love, a love between people. But what I want to share tonight with you is I want to share with you a love that you can have that will change your life. It's better than boxes of chocolate and little candy hearts that say, "Hi there," or "I love you." It's better than all that. This love that I'm talking about, this love that is beyond any other love that we can ever think about in our life, this love will deliver us from bondage. Boy, what a love that would be, right? This love that I'm talking about would even redeem us. This love would turn curses into blessings. Isn't that fantastic? This love that I'm talking about will build you up. This love that I'm talking about would restore your joy. Have you lost your joy tonight? This love that I'm going to talk about tonight would restore your joy. This love I'm going to talk about tonight would make you more than a conqueror, give you strength. It will give you encouragement. It will give you hope. This love I'm talking about tonight will cast out all your fears. Wow. I don't think a rose does that. This love I'm talking about tonight would comfort us. But this love I'm talking about tonight will free you and me from our sins. That sin nature that we have, that we're separated from God because of our sins. This love I'm talking about tonight will free you from your sins. So tonight, I'm not going to talk to you how you need to love each other. Tonight, I'm just going to talk about love. It'd be nice to talk about love today, right? I bet when you turned on the news tonight, I doubt they say, "Our top story tonight, we're just going to talk about love." Wouldn't that be great? But tonight, we're going to talk about love. Nothing fancy. From the Bible, talking about God's tremendous love for you. Each of you tonight, when you came in, you got a Valentine card. Hold it up if you've got it. If not, you can get one. There's white baskets when you leave. I have 8 different scriptures that I had that talk about God's love. If you look on your Wednesday night bulletin, those are the 8 scriptures that talk about God's love. And so every card has a different scripture on it. Now, the cards are paraphrased, but here's what I did. And I prayed to God when we got these cards ready. And I said, God, I have 8 scriptures on love. Now, God, I don't know who's going to be there tonight. But God, I want you to put the scripture in the hands of the people of whoever needs it. So what I'm saying is this, whatever card you got tonight, I don't think it was by chance because you put your hand into the basket and pulled out a card. It's because it's been prayed for. So whatever scripture you have, I really believe that that's the scripture that God had for you tonight. There's a reason you have the card. See, I just want to share God's love. Someone needs to hear about God's love tonight. I really believe that everyone needs to hear about God's love tonight. And so if you look on your Wednesday night bulletin, you're going to see the 8 scriptures that I put on there. And I encourage you to go home tonight, to take those scriptures, and let God tell you how much He loves you. Let God tell you how much He cares for you. Because I believe that sometimes we're so busy with life, we just don't stop to realize how much God really loves us. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 2 of these scriptures that I have on that sheet of paper, and I'm going to talk about those scriptures about God's love. So basically, I'm taking 2 of the 8 scriptures and just going to kind of talk on that for a minute. Because it's very important that we understand God's love for our life so we can understand that no matter what we go through, we have a God who created this world, this universe, who loves us. A powerful God who cares for us. Now, I just happened to walk in and grab the card, and the card I grabbed said, each day God pours His unfailing love on me, Psalms 42:8. Now, I just reached into the box. I came over here. I reached into that basket over there, and the one I got said, each day God pours His unfailing love on me, Psalms 42:8. That just happens to be my very first point of the scripture I'm going to tell you. I said, okay, God, I need to know that. And so if you all would take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 42, we're going to examine Psalms 42 for us to see some things that we need to know about God's love on our life. Psalms 42 and starts what they call book 2 of the book of Psalms. It really is talking about, starting in Psalms 42, it really is talking about how do you handle things when you have despair? How do you handle things maybe when you're depressed? How do you handle things when things are going wrong? What is it? How is it that we can handle that kind of stuff? It's an encouragement from the Psalms about when your life is not going exactly as you planned it to go. How is it that you can overcome that through God's love? And that's kind of what Psalms is. So, Psalms 42 and on kind of talks about that. Now, if you look at the very first of Psalms 42, you're going to see that the psalm is to the chief musician. It says a complication of the sons of Korah. So it's telling who it's to. So really, this psalm is written to the chief musician. You know, psalms are songs. And it's saying that this is really kind of a message or a teaching of the sons of Korah. So some people say that Psalms 42, along with some of the psalms that follow this, are written by the sons of Korah. Some people are saying that it's written for the sons of Korah to understand what's going on in their life. So there's a lot of talk about who writes it or not, but somehow the sons of Korah are in this. Now, do you know who the sons of Korah are? It's very interesting. If you go back to Numbers 16, you're going to see a story in Numbers 16 where Moses is walking around. Moses and Aaron are walking around, and they are doing what they do. They're the priesthood. They're the priest of that time. And they're walking around. Well, all of a sudden, there's about 250 people led by two people, Dathan and Abiram. Okay? They get a group of people, about 250 men, and they challenge the right of Moses and Aaron to the priesthood. Well, with this, Korah listened to them, and Korah, who was a Levite, now understand this, in the Old Testament, Levites, or the group of Levites, they were the ones that were in the temple and helped in the temple. And so Korah got with the rebellious group to challenge Moses and Aaron on whether they really had the right to tell them what to do. So you got to understand, Moses and Aaron, do you agree with me that they were the chosen of God during that time, right? Well, these 250 people led by these two people, they said, we're going to challenge Moses and Aaron to the priesthood. Can I say that was probably the wrong move? And then Moses basically just said, listen, this is kind of what's going to happen. He told the rest of the people, I think you all need to probably stay away from these people and their households because something's going to happen. And you go, well, what's going to happen? Well, something's going to happen. And so they're going through the days, they're doing all this that they're doing, and what happens is they're rebellious against Moses and Aaron, and all of a sudden, as the scripture says in number 16, the earth opens up and swallows those people. Okay? And their households. So basically, all of them and their households and all the ones that rebelled, they were swallowed up by the earth because they were rebellious because Moses and Aaron were God's chosen people and these people went against them. That's pretty dangerous, right? I mean, God just opened up the earth. There they go. Now, a side sermon. This story kind of shows me that we need to be very, very, very crisp. Very, very careful about how we criticize God's people. I think this story just kind of shows us that we have to be very, very careful of having a critical attitude and then talking about that with other people. You see, these two people start talking, and then before you know it, there's 250 people that are going against Moses and Aaron. But that's not really what I'm talking about tonight. But we got to know that. That's very important. Don't you understand that? Well, something happened. As you read Numbers a little bit more, we read later in Numbers that they mention the sons of Korah. God in His mercy in this bad situation did not destroy Korah's sons because his sons are going to go on and be workers in the temple, in God's temple, and their sons are going to be people that are godly people, and Korah's sons are people that are going to advance the kingdom of God. So God in His mercy, God in His grace, spared the sons of Korah. So let's jump up to Psalms 42. Who wrote it? The sons of Korah. Or who was it written to? The sons of Korah. Because it shows the love of God. Do you realize that things can happen in our life and we just don't understand them and we don't know what's going on and things happen in our life and yet God loves us. God cares for us. See, that's very, very important that we know that. No matter what's going on in your life, you have to know that God loves you. And so we get to Psalms, and that's kind of what it means when it says that the sons of Korah is there. And so then what you're doing is you are sitting there looking at this Psalm, Psalm 42, knowing the story about how the sons of Korah were spared. And you are looking at this, and what you see is this, that in our miseries, in our problems, in the things that we face in our life, we have to remember the mercy of God. We have to remember God's mercy. For when we face troubles, when we face problems in our life, what we do is we have a battle going on in our mind. How many of you in the last month have ever faced a problem? Raise your hand. And here's the thing that happens. We have a battle in our mind. And that battle in our mind is this. That battle is a battle between doubt, and that battle is a battle between faith. Doubt and faith. We have that when we have a problem. Am I doubting or am I going to have faith? When we have a problem in our life, we have some things that come up in our life. That is this. When we have a problem, we have a battle between despair and hope. We have that battle going on in our mind. When we have a battle going on in our life, we have a battle between pessimism or optimism. We can either be negative or we can be positive. When we have a problem in our life, we have a battle between looking at our circumstance or looking at God. Now, we all want to sit here and say, I hope that we have faith, hope, optimism, and looking at God. But there's a battle going on. And if you read Psalms 42, you're going to see that there is a battle going on. He says in one of the verses, why am I so cast down, O my soul? Why am I depressed? Why am I discouraged, O my soul? And then in Psalms 42:8, the Bible says this, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to God of my life. This is what it says. It says, the Lord will command his loving kindness on us. That means this. He just doesn't throw out his love for you when you have problems and when you have despair. What he does is this. God commands his love on you. So when you're going through problems, when you're going through things in your life, understand this. God commands his love on you. God loves you so much. God wants you to be okay so much. God cares for you so much that God has commanded his love to be on you. Isn't that so encouraging? To know that no matter what you go through, no matter what you struggle with in your life, God's commanding his love on you. See, I want us to walk out of here tonight not feeling beat up with our problems, not struggling with what's going on in our lives, but to know this, that when we are disquieted in our soul, when our souls are bothered, we know that God commands his love on us. We know this, that according to the one I got, my Valentine card from God, God is pouring his love on me. God is pouring his love on me all the time. Isn't that great to know? Think of a pitcher of water. Think of pouring that water out. And when you're pouring that water out, think of this. Think of that being God's love on your head. God is pouring his love on you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great to know? So when I was looking at Psalms 42, and I was looking at Psalms 42:8, I just want to share with you this. No matter how rough it is right now, No matter what you're struggling with right now. No matter who said what to who. No matter where you are right now. God is pouring His love on you. That's better than any chocolate candy you could eat tonight when you go home. And the roses are going to die anyway. But God's love will never, ever fail. Isn't that fantastic? God's love will never, ever fail. So that was one of the verses I had. Psalms 42. The next verse that I wanted to go with and let you see is this. It is Romans 8, 39. Romans 8, 39 is part of three verses. You have Romans 8, 37, 38, and 39. Let me just read those verses for you. It said, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." What was the thing? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. That means this: there is no person, there is no place, there is no thing in the world that can separate you from God. Let me say that again. There is no person, no place, nor thing in the world that can separate you from God. That should give you great hope tonight. God's love is on us all the time. And there's no person in this world that can separate that love. They can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. They can treat you any way that they want to treat you. But that will not separate the love of God. Well, I've been here preaching tonight, and there's been distractions. I'm here to say this. The love of God has just been pouring out on me. Nothing was going to separate me from the love of God. That's the way it works. No neighbor, no evil look, no doctor's diagnosis, no boss, no employee, no financial situation, no husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. Let's throw in the cat, let's throw in the dog, a couple of mice, some spiders and cockroaches. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. And so tonight when you leave this place, I am just praying that you understand that when Satan throws whatever he's going to throw at you, we have a God who's pouring out His love on you, and God has said to you, nothing is going to separate you from Me. Nothing at all. God wants you to live a victorious life. He does not want you to live a defeated life. And so the only thing that can give us this victorious life is the love of God. To know that the One who created the universe loves us during all things that we go through. And we go through some things, don't we? And the reason that that can happen is because some time in my life, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. He came into my heart, He forgave my sins, and at that time, I had the greatest love that God could ever give anybody, and that is this: God gives you salvation. When we had that service today for Sonny, we were in there, we were singing, we were talking about, but Sonny was up in heaven. You talking about the love of God. Well, that same love that is in heaven can be yours tonight if you claim the love of God. And Christian brother and sister, sometimes we are defeated in that, and we just don't understand God's love. I'm here to tell you tonight, you claim God's love tonight because He's commanded His love on you. And He cares about you. And He wants to see you succeed. And He's looking forward to the time in heaven when we're celebrating Him. The love of God. Isn't that great? So happy Valentine's Day. But the love of God is greater than any Valentine present you can get. And if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm here tonight to say to you, the love of God is the reason we have salvation. Who sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have eternal life and spend eternity with God in heaven. I hope tonight when you leave, all you're thinking about is the love of God. I hope tonight when you read these scriptures, think about the love of God. I hope when you take this home and put it somewhere in your house that you realize that was a special Valentine's gift from God. And for some reason, you just needed that verse. Isn't love wonderful? God's love is wonderful.